Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghesis.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
All right, bus people. Mike, are you there? Are you leave us, or what's happening with you?
Oh, I had to call back. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, you're with us. Mike's on the road. On the road. He's heading home, and he's on the road. Not on the road to talk to a winery, but on the road to head home. So when you hear that noise out in the background, that's vehicular traffic.
Oh, you can hear that. I'll mute my microphone, and then you don't have to hear that. But yes,
yeah.
Switching over to home. But here.
Yeah. There, that's quiet now. But so are you.
Okay.
Well, we can't. Can only hear it with the traffic. Oh, well, that's okay.
Oh, man.
But Mike will be home, and he'll call in a little bit here. But we've just got some subjects, just different things. We don't have a guest tonight. We have a guest next week. Joy of Joy's Joy of Wine blog is going to be joining us next week. Joy Neighbors. I'm going to talk about some of her stuff on her blog. If you don't have her blog, get it. It's a lot of information on that. I'm going to talk about some of it tonight on there. She's got a very interesting wine, which I want to share with you for those of you who don't get it. So we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And Mike is heading back to his crib, as they say, and he'll be there soon and join us, so we won't be hearing all sorts of traffic noise in the background. And he said, weather's nasty there. This is strange. I mean, it's not bad. Mike's over in Orlando, and I'm in Tampa, or thereabouts for both of us. And he said the weather looks nasty in that area, but it's really just gorgeous here. That's why the bus people were so happy, because, you know, it's just beautiful weather here. And, you know, I Mike is there, but he's not there. I see him on the switchboard here, but he's not there. But we got different things to talk about tonight. Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Let me get off the main road here.
You're breaking up a little bit now, too.
Back. Yeah, I'll call back in a few minutes, and then I'll join the program then.
Okay, very good. We'll look forward to hearing you in a few minutes then. All right. We have just some odds and ends to talk about tonight, just a little information. I have to tell you about the wine I'm enjoying tonight, though. This is a Val de Mall Chile. It's a Colina Vineyards, a 2012 Reserva Carmenere. I love Carmenieres. I really do. I became a Carmenere fan a few years ago. The label states, stretching 2,900 miles from north to south, Chile offers some of the most diverse landscape on Earth. Its climate is temperate, chilled by the daily breezes from the cold Pacific Ocean to the west and the towering Andes Mountains to the east. Carmenere is a grape originally from France, but today is planted exclusively in Chile, although I hear they're planting it in a few other places around the world. Our Carmenere is packed with powerful aromas and flavors of ripe black cherries, fresh berries, spice, and fresh herbs. Very nice Carmenere. It's picked it up the other day. Actually, I picked it up the other day because I was looking for some kosher wine. Sunday being Easter for all those in the Christian, and Passover is right around now, and not being Jewish, Passover begins Saturday, so it's right here at the same time. Good Friday tomorrow, Passover Saturday, Easter Sunday, and what's this? Some other event is Monday. Oh, no, nothing. So Passover being Saturday, we have time for the kosher wines. Last year we had a whole program on kosher wines. We talked about it, and we actually had a rabbi on with us who told us about kosher wines, told us about Passover, and told us how kosher wines come about and what the whole significance of and all that. Great program. I learned a lot. A couple days after that, I actually went to a Passover service at the synagogue. My wife and I took the time to check that out. Very interesting. They told about the significance of all the stuff in the Passover service. There was a plate with all the different things on it and the significance of it and all that. So, very interesting time we had, and it was quite educational too. So, Passover, Saturday, Easter Sunday. For those of you of Jewish persuasion that listen, happy Passover. Those of you of the Christian faith, happy Easter. And we are going to probably talk a little bit more about that when Mike gets on, too. Joy, well, let me go into some other stuff. There's a few things I'm going to pass on, and while Mike is traversing the last few steps to his home. Oh boy, my computer is so slow. This is really awkward trying to get this thing loaded up here. But the thing went down this morning. It was down for an hour or so this morning, and because it was down, then the computer slowed down here. So now we're back up, and it's working, but it's working very slowly. I see Mike is, well, Mike is with us. I don't see where he is, but Mike's supposed to be with us. He's on Skype. He's just not on the program yet. I'm sputtering here trying to kill time. There he is. He is back with us. Let's bring him up onto the program. You're yep. In with us now. Oh, all right. Good. Yeah. And no traffic noise or anything. There you go.
I gotta go back and listen to that. I didn't know you could hear traffic on there. I was on the wireless Bluetooth thing, and never heard that before. So
yeah, it was. To go back and... You could hear the traffic in the background. It was noticeable.
Oh, wait.
So,
Not
that it was distracting or anything, but it was there.
Sure.
okay.
All right.
So
very good. Cool. So what are we? What did I miss?
Not too much. I just told about the wine I'm drinking tonight. I have a Carmenere that I'm enjoying tonight.
There's something I wanted to talk to you, and I didn't get a chance to before the show. Okay. Oh well. It's about some plants that I saw, but I don't know if. I guess were you in a topic thing or?
No. Just
okay.
I was waiting for my bloody computer to load. The thing went down. Internet went down this morning on me, and because it went down, we got it hooked back up and it's running. But boy, is it running slow! And it's just driving me insane this evening. But yeah, what? No, I'm.
Well,
there's nothing.
There was. We have, and I don't. I'm not going to mention particulars where, but there's a flower and garden show going on. Where I'm at a lot of times, and they have all these different plants and everything out, you know, on display, and they have little plaques in front of them, and you know, kind of a basic thing. They're all grouped together. Well, I saw this one set that was bromeliads or something.
Yeah, the bromeliads.
Bromeliads. Okay, and two of them had grape, Malbec? Was it Malbec?
Really?
Yeah.
Malbec?
And
yeah.
I think it was. Or what's the other one? No, not Moscato. There were two of them, and I thought I wrote them down. But I said, and it was almost like a small bushy plant. It wasn't a grapevine or anything. So I was like, why did they have this name on there? Because it was the name of a varietal or type of wine that we've talked about.
Right.
And I don't know why it was on there. I mean, it's not I'm confused on. I know I have it somewhere because I thought that was kind of strange that they named this plant, and it's over by. There's different countries, and it's over by this country called Mexico. So I don't know what the connection was there, but they had all these bromeliads there, and it was all these different kind of plants and everything. And I saw two of them, and they had wine names on them. And I thought, that's not the plant that it's. I don't know. I got to look it up. I can't remember if it's Malbec or not Moscato. No, that's I got to look it up.
That's odd.
Anyway.
I would have no idea why they would call them those names. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the other one. Anyway. I'm sure it'll be in here pretty soon here. Anyway, you were talking.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I've never, you know, bromeliads are air plants, aren't they? Am I mistaken on that?
Are they
what? You know, air plants.
I see. I read the main thing about it, but I could not figure out what. It's I can't remember what you call it, but it's a. I wish I had a picture of the plaque that was in front of there, because it had all the information about the type of plants and why they're called that and what their characteristics are, and it was, last week or something. I don't know. Back to the show.
I don't know.
I'll look it up. But it there were two of them.
Find out something you have piqued our curiosity, and
yes.
So piqued our curiosity. If you do, pass on. Speaking of plants, New York State. I saw an interesting article. New York State is the second highest producer of apples and the third highest producer of grapes in the nation. The governor just announced this last Wednesday. He said that New York State has ranked second in apple production consecutively for the last 18 years. New York State. I don't know why that surprises me. But, you know, hey, it has placed third in grape production every year since 1987, except for 1996 when they were ranked second. just, you know, New York for apples. It says in 2014, the state produced approximately 1.26 billion pounds of apples and 188,000 tons of grapes. They are unprecedented international recognition for New York's agricultural products over the last 4 years. It is home of some of the best agricultural products in the world, said the governor. California and Washington are the only two states that exceed New York's grape production, and only Washington produces more apples than New York. So, you know, Washington apples, you hear about it all the time, but New York, that just strikes me as very odd for some reason. New York was named Wine Region of the Year by Wine Enthusiast Magazine last October. I don't know if you all saw that or not, but it was. And it showcased the growth of the wine industry there and how it's exploded and all that. It is home to over 40,000 acres of apple orchards. And on average, apple producers cultivated 31,500 pounds per acre. Wow. New York also has 37,000 acres devoted to production of grapes. The grape growers produced 5.08 tons per acre of grapes last year. 5 tons per acre is about average, so that doesn't surprise me. $69.4 million crop production. In 2013, the governor signed in legislation making a new license available to farm cideries, which has created a boom in the apple industry. 11 farm cideries have popped up across the state. There's over 20 varieties of apples, including Cortland, Empire, Fuji, Gala, Golden Delicious, McIntosh, Ruby Frost, and Zestar. The New York Wine and Grape Foundation found that the grape juice, grape, and grape wine industry has a $4.8 billion impact on the state, supporting 25,000 full-time jobs, bringing in 5.3 million tourists to the state every year. That just goes to show you, these states that are suppressing the grape production and wineries and stuff like that, there's a good example of what it can do. 5.3 million tourists, $4.8 billion economic impact just from grapes alone. He said the 2014 New York grape crop turned out to be a lot better than many people expected after the extreme cold of the 3 polar vortex events upstate during the winter, followed by a relatively cool spring and summer. And September turned out to be a pure magic for ripening, so the quality was superb and the quantity was larger than envisioned. All in all, 2014 was a very good year for grapes in New York. Great. Just a wonderful little thing for New York there. So anyone out there is a fan of New York or from New York or something to take a bow for there. That's really, really quite something. And there's, I wonder, they say grape juice and stuff like that. There's a lot of grapes being grown for Welch's. They do a lot of grapes in the western part of the state there. So it's a big industry. Here's something that is interesting, I thought. Spanish Polytech University of Madrid and Spain's Forest Research Center. Come on, pop up now. This is, I apologize for the speed of my computer. The thing was down this morning, and it decided to take its sweet old time popping back up now. So, it is really taking its sweet old time too, isn't it? Well, I don't want to criticize any service, but Verizon, you're upsetting me. It says it's loading, but
If it will, then
I should go to the
Jeopardy theme.
Yeah, the Jeopardy theme. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Oh, man.
Something. Still waiting, huh?
Still waiting. Well, it's telling me, the computer's telling me, you know, it's waiting for the cash now. We're getting something here. We're getting something. This was this way all day long. All day long, I was trying to do stuff. I was trying to do some government paperwork and stuff, and it was just, it's the end of the quarter, end of the month, and I was trying to do government paperwork all day, and I was just like, forever, I'd get up and I'd go wander around. I'd come back and it'd finally load, and I'd punch in some stuff and hit the next page. Oh, we're up now. Aroma yeast is what it says. It may be the smallest of elements which has the biggest impact on flavor. A team of researchers from Polytechnic. Oh, come on, no, I don't want that. I don't want to shop from my computer. A team of researchers from Polytechnic University of Madrid and Spain's Forest Research Center has stated that certain wine flavors can be imparted by a special yeast, saving a bunch of money on winemakers' barrels. The new methodology will allow us to make wine more quickly with less cost and have similar sensorial profiles to the wine obtained by the traditional aging methods, university said. The French and American oak barrels are synonymous with quality wines. Traditional aging of French and American oak barrels constitutes the only resource to elaborate quality aged wines. This process that they are with the barrels is tedious and costly. A fancy method is to use a yeast that will impart those flavors. A large volume of wine must be immobilized for a very long period of time before coming out on the market with barrels. The research group has developed a methodology that aims to exploit the high absorption potential of volatile compounds that shows the year's cell walls used in early stage of its development. So in simple terms, what they're saying is they can infuse yeast with certain flavors, knowing that when the yeast is applied to the wine, its cell walls will allow the flavors to venture beyond the cells itself and into the wine. It's an innovative process, and it gives you the same sensorial profiles to other traditional wine aged in barrel. Come on, computer. Oh, jeez. Now it's telling me it's not responding. I'm right in the middle of the article, and it's telling me it's not responding. There we go. In barrels, where am I? In barrels, there you go. This is upsetting tonight. I could open up the laptop, but if I open up the laptop, it's not staying online because I don't have a plug into it, and I'm plugged into this one. There we go, maybe. Using yeast to influence the flavor of wines opens up the possibility of winemakers to store their precious product in barrels made from chestnut, cherry, or walnut. Until now, barrel aging has been the method of choice because the process, flavor-enhancing properties have long embraced by winemakers, gives them wood barrels because of the sturdiness and ease of transport. Wood used to be tough, affordable, and abundant material, and its geometry allowed them a rolling motion. Later, the positive influence of the container over the content was perceived and recognized. So, barrels originally were used just because they were easier to move around and easier to use and stuff, but then they started to find out the flavors and all that. Well, the new yeast, the yeast infused with the aromas, can impart those same flavors without having to go into all of that barrels and the aging and months and all that. So a possibility there. Although they already make a liquid oak. There's a company in, I want to say, New Jersey that makes a liquid oak. And that can be added. So many drops is going to impart so much oak into your wine. So many drops per gallon and stuff like that. And I had an opportunity to try it. And, you know, you really, really can't tell the difference. It just, it's amazing that it is so similar to oak aging. Boy, this, if I start screaming or crying here, it's because this thing's acting up so much. Boy, or it's not acting. That's what the problem is. It's not acting at all. Oh, come on. Well, everybody's out there going, all right, come on, come on, come on. I know it's not responding. Google Chrome, you're doing a real nice job for me tonight here.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's happened to me too. I've run that one or with Firefox quite a bit, and I don't know, it's going back and forth.
Yeah, Firefox. I like Firefox. Firefox started to do that to me too, so I went to Google Chrome, and Google Chrome, I'm going, yay, okay, it's working and everything's fine and all that, but now Google Chrome is just giving me fits here. I just.
Yeah.
Boy, there we go. We finally got something that popped up other than what I was looking at. No, it's doing something else there. I don't want that. Why is that popping up? SocialSecurity.gov. Is the government listening? Hello, government. Why that popped up, I have no idea. Well, I'm back to my home page here. Okay. Let's see what we can... what we can do from here. And jeez, I apologize for all of you out there trying to listen to me tonight, because I've got some stuff, if I can ever pull it up. I had excuse me, Joy Neighbors, Joy's Joy of Wine. I mentioned that while Mike was coming. Joy's Joy of Wine is going to be joining us next week, hopefully next week. She says she was available. I emailed her, and she should be getting back with me. She hasn't responded yet, but she's usually pretty good about getting back with me. So she'll be on next week. But her website, Joy's Joy of Wine, if you, I said earlier, if you don't subscribe to it, you really should. Why is this? There we go. So if you don't subscribe to it, you really should. It's got some great information on it, and a lot of neat stuff that she has all the time. We were talking last week. Let me see if I can't find it here. Oh, this is well, again, I found it, but it's going to take a while for it to load. Do I have anything else I can talk about here? I don't think I have any other paperwork or anything here. What's this? Maybe there's something here I can... we finally popped up here. Arsenic-tainted wine. We were talking about that last week. We were talking about how there was testing done on... wines, on the cheaper wines, and they contained levels of arsenic that were higher than drinking water is allowed. And this article is from the Farmington Hills Patch. The patch is everywhere. If you don't, you know, you can get the patch. It's all over the place. It's just, you know, local internet articles. We have like three or four of them around this area here. But this says how much arsenic is acceptable. It's only regulated in drinking water, so dangerous level alleged in lawsuit is open to an interpretation. It's a class action lawsuit alleges that more than 83 inexpensive California wines contain dangerous levels of arsenic. But arsenic content isn't regulated in food and beverages other than water. Last week we were talking about arsenic. The arsenic levels in wine are higher than those allowed in drinking water. And we also covered the fact that drinking water is something that you do, you know, almost every day and put in your foods and stuff like that, whereas wine is not something that you're going to be downing as much as water, at least in theory. The article states here, if you drink a bottle of the alleged arsenic-tainted California wine, there's probably no need to rush to the attorney's office to update your will. Experts say you're not likely to die from drinking a bottle of wine produced by one of the 28 California winemakers and sellers named in the class action lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court. The problem with arsenic, besides toxicity, of course, is you won't be able to detect it by breathing in the bouquet and swishing the wine around in your mouth. Arsenic is odorless, tasteless, and colorless, but potentially deadly over time. Alan Smith, who is Associate Director of the Arsenic Health Effects Research Program at California Berkeley, told CBS News that arsenic content of 50 parts per billion alleged in some of the wines named in the suit could be deadly over time. He also said arsenic is highly toxic. It affects your body on the inside as much as smoking cigarettes. The wine industry claims they're grandstanding. National Geographic describes arsenic, whose use as an instrument of murder traces back to at least the 4th century and is suspected in the deaths of Napoleon, King George III, and other prominent historical figures as the poison of kings and the king of poisons. Arsenic, this is a quote from National Geographic, arsenic exploits certain pathways in our cells, binds to proteins, and creates molecular havoc. Small amounts taken over long stress produce weakness, confusion, and paralysis. Take less than a tenth of an ounce, which is 2.83 grams at once, and the classic signs of acute arsenic poisoning ensue. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, low blood pressure, then death. End quote. So it's no surprise the wine industry and retailers who sell the suspect wines are taking the allegations seriously. They are concerned. They're investigating the matter and they're looking at the suppliers. The lawsuit amounts to grandstanding, though, says Chris Lahan, spokesman for the wine group, who is one of the people named in the lawsuit, one of the companies named in the lawsuit. It's the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater when there's no fire, and in fact, everything's perfectly safe, he says. The Wine Institute, which represents about 1,000 wineries, is the important wine producing region of California, also dismissed the lawsuit as frivolous. We don't think that this lawsuit has merit, and we think that the publicity campaign is very irresponsible, says Vice President Nancy Light, who reported that to the Wine Spectator magazine. Apples to oranges, wine to water. The problem is with the lawsuit is that they're using the drinking water limits and applying it to wine. And there are no EPA limits for other food and drink, including wine, because they are not consumed at the same level as drinking water. They are improperly comparing apples to oranges, only in this case it's water to wine. He doesn't think the class action suit will succeed, but there's no established legal standard in arsenic and wine, either nationally or in California. But he says the court of public opinion is another matter entirely. The lawsuit describes arsenic levels of up to 50 parts per billion as dangerous, and they're half the acceptable level in Ontario. What's dangerous, however, is up for debate because of the lack of regulation. After 2011 scare about arsenic in rice, the largest dietary source of inorganic arsenic, biochemists at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland said that eating 3.5 ounces or 100 grams of uncooked rice would be the equivalent of drinking a liter of water containing the maximum allowable federal limits of arsenic in drinking water. Uncooked, all right. Though arsenic content isn't regulated, the ventures are at least determined to find the source of it and may start putting it on the label. The suit was filed by Brian Kabatek. He says his ultimate goal is to the winemakers to recall these wines and get them to refund the money to the people and ultimately to clean up the wine industry in California. That's just what they need, to clean up the industry along with the drought. The lawsuit also suspects wines be removed immediately from store shelves and that recalls be issued. Some consumers are closely watching what happens next. I'm kind of anxious to get up to the stores and see if they're pulling these off the shelf, said a retired detective from Los Angeles, Michael Jackson. Jackson said he regularly drinks Menage a Trois, one of the allegedly tainted wines, and has consumed maybe 100, 200 bottles over the past couple of years. He wonders if that is the cause of some of the health problems he has been experiencing. Well, maybe it's the fact that he's 63 years old, too. You think so? He associated swelling in his knees and ankles and sensitivity on the bottom of his feet to his diet, but now wonders if the wine wasn't the culprit. Maybe he's diabetic, too. You know, that could cause that. Or his medication. These are all sorts of different things. I'm not a doctor. The lawsuit names several large companies, including the Wine Group, Treasury Wine Estates, Trinchero, Trader Joe's, and Fetzer Vineyards, based on the claims of inorganic arsenic in 83 brands, including Franzia, Sutter Home, Concannon, Wine Cube, Behringer, Flip Flop, Fetzer, Corbel, Almaden, Trebbish, Cupcake, Smoking Loon, and Charles Shaw. And the list of the companies that are named in the lawsuit. Class actions. Since it's a class action, lawyers always make a mint on class action suits. And you have to think that it's a lot of this is lawyer pursuit more so than actual fears. But you can get the list of all the wines that are named in this class action suit. And there's 83 of them total that are named. Wine Cube, Vendange, Tribuno, Sweet Vermouth is in there. Sutter Home has a list of them. Simply Naked, Moscato, Sea Glass, Sauvignon Blanc. Richard's Wild Irish Roses red wine, for those of you who like the jump out there. Mogan David Concord, Mogan David Blackberry, Oak Leaf, Menage a Trois, the whole list of Menage a Trois, 2010 and 2011. Corbel, Champagne, Sparkling Rosé Champagne, Foxhorn, Flip Flops, Franzia, Corbett Canyon Cabernet, Corbett Canyon Pinot Grigio, Glen Ellen by Concannon, Clarisse del Sol, Melbach, Charles Shaw, Behringer, Bandits, Bay Bridges, Arrow Creek, Almaden, Acronym. There's a whole bunch of them. If you want to know the list, if you're concerned about the list, email me, if I can transfer this. I don't know if I can. I'll try to transfer this onto the website or to our Facebook page. If I can do that, I'll try to do that. If you don't see it there, it's because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know. My opinion of this arsenic and wine situation is just a little bit, I don't know, ridiculous. It's something else. People have been drinking these different wines for years and years. Now they're saying, they got arsenic in it, so you need to be worried and all that stuff. And because of that, people are going to panic, and they're going to start worrying about it, and they're going to start doing all sorts of stuff to try to get money and everything else. And I personally think it's ridiculous. So, but that is just my opinion. You are more than happy to make your own opinion on that also. The Indian casinos. We talked about Indian casinos in Napa. We talked about that a couple months ago. A Las Vegas company was seeking to open up with Indian tribes casinos in Napa, Solano, and Sonoma counties. The last word I got on that is that it was turned down flat out. No, you can't do it. Don't even come back to us and talk to us again about it, because it is not going to happen. I guess that pretty much ends it right there. But you're still seeing stuff pop up here and there saying that they want to do it. Here, this is from the middle of May, that they're still thinking it's a real threat to open these up there. They've invited, Napa's invited local representatives from wineries and agricultural and residents and all sorts of groups to meetings to discuss the casino and how it can affect it, and the Indian tribes, and I don't know which ones they are. I would tribal government. Let's see. It's not on this article here. The American Canyon Council, City Council, is voting against it. The Litton Band, which is based in Sonoma County. I don't know if that's it or not. But the last word I got, the last thing I saw, was no, this is not going to happen. So, as far as I know, it is a done deal. We're not going to see casinos in Napa or Sonoma or any of the areas there. It's just not going to happen. So, good, bad, indifferent, I don't know. It's just things that I guess we'll have to wait and see if something else happens. Cork, the big controversy of cork and screw cap. They're saying now that cork brings some phenolic compounds that are naturally present in cork stoppers can influence the aging of wine positively. Dr. Miguel Cabral, Amarin, which Amarin is a big, big cork producing company, big, big cork producing company. Amarin actually is one where I get my corks. Amarin, Dr. Miguel Cabral, says he's the director of research and development, and said that migration of phenolics and volatiles from the structure of natural corks into a wine as it ages in a bottle, and it says that it's a benefit to the maturation of the wine. They're looking at how it does affect it, pointing out that Dom Perignon chooses to use cork rather than crown cap for his champagnes, which are destined for extended cellaring. It believes that the phenolics and volatiles in natural cork have a major role in adding that by deeply studying the effect of phenolics and volatiles is causing the champagne to be even better. So, there you go. That's another reason to cheer for cork as opposed to other types of closures. Although I did see something just recently here. Cork and let's see, cork, where is it? About cork over and other closures. Oh, here it is. Screw cap triumphs over cork. This is from the drinks business. This is dated April the 2nd, which is, wow, today. A selection of top Austrian wines matured under both screw cap and cork led to groundbreaking results during a blind tasting at this week's Vinitaly. And Irene, if you're listening to the program, I'm just reading this. I'm not stating that I agree or disagree. Irene King, she's a big advocate of cork. She's not a fan of any of the closure. Tyson Stelzer, joint winner of this year's International Wine and Spirit Competition Communicator of the Year Award, featuring the following Australian Reds. Henshek Hill of Grace, Syrah. Cullen Diana Madeline, Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot. Yolumba, the signature Cabernet, and Brokenwood Rainier Syrahs. The international panel judges voted in favor of the expressions aged under screw cap, a particularly impactful result to occur on Italian soil, where this closure was until recently banned from use in many of the country's most prestigious wines. And it still remains controversial. By contrast, many Australian winemakers have embraced screw cap for long enough to have built up evidence of how this closure performs for wines produced with a considerable period of bottle aging in mind. You know, I read somewhere once that screw caps on a period of time will cause the SO2 levels to rise. Now, how and why, I don't know. But I read somewhere where that happens. This goes on to say, these wines have the potential to break down prejudices, as this tasting has demonstrated. It was also noted the misconception that screw caps are inferior formed part of a wider challenge for Australian of building a global following for his top wines. Reading the results, they have admitted we will have to change our mindset, said a sommelier, Annie Martin Stefanato, who is a Venice sommelier. Meanwhile, Panamanian wine expert Fabrizio Kessi expressed his surprise at the outcome, saying, I did not expect they would age so well, even better than under cork. It really surprised me. I'm sorry, Irene. Despite the findings of this event, the cork industry continues to fight its corner. In addition to extensive research to tackle TCA or cork taint, companies such as Amarin have also investigated the beneficial influences brought to a wine by the phenolic compounds, and I just read you that are naturally present in cork stoppers. Meanwhile, synthetic closure specialist Norma Cork, and look back on last year, I posted a video on our Facebook page of how Norma Cork does her synthetic closure. It's a neat little, you know, 2 or 3 minute video. Norma Cork has launched a stopper derived partly from plant-based polymers rather than from oil, and it's offering its product as in a variety of oxygen transmission rates to suit different styles of wine. So there you go. I mean, I don't know. You know, cork, yeah, I'm a cork fan, but, you know, screw caps, synthetics, all these different things. There's all sorts of things, and it's an ongoing debate. Maybe we should get Irene back on with us again, have her, you know, argue the benefits of cork. She is certified cork expert, or whatever the actual label is that she has. So that might be something that, you know, she can talk to us about. But they're saying, you know, screw cap is good. Glassy wing sharpshooter. Glass wing sharpshooter, if you're not aware of it, if you're not familiar with it, is the little bug about the size of a dime in its adult stage that gets into grapevines and kills them. It is also the carrier of Pierce disease, which is the one that is Pierce's disease is devastating for wine grapes. The Glasswing Sharpshooter retains its nutrients by feeding on the plant fluids and water-conducting tissues, and it can drain 200 to 300 times its body weight in water every day. That's the equivalent of a 150-pound adult drinking about 4,300 gallons of water in a day. Boy, that would give you arsenic, wouldn't it? You know, notice how we tie everything together here. The biggest problem with the Glasswing Sharpshooter, though, is that it spreads Excelsia fastidiosa, which causes Pierce disease in grapes. The reason I'm telling you this, they are monitoring it all over everywhere. It's something that is constantly being monitored, is constantly being watched for, and is constantly being scanned for everywhere. It is prevalent in the warmer climates because it will survive in the warmer climates. It will not survive in colder climates because it's a four cycles in its life, and it cannot survive cold. But with global climate change, it is getting warmer north, and that's why this is serious, because they have discovered the Glasswing Sharpshooter in Marin County, which is around the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, you know, you say, wow, that could be serious, but let me tell you how serious that is. San Francisco Bay Area is just south of Napa. It's just south of Sonoma. It is just west of Livermore Valley, which is enormous now, north of the Paso Robles region. And, I mean, these are all big, big, big grape-growing regions. So, you know, if you're starting to get the Glasswing Sharpshooter showing up in these areas that are in the Bay Area, that's something that really, really needs to be addressed and concerned. I don't know if the drought is affecting it. Maybe the California drought might be one of the problems why it is moving north. Who knows? But it is a problem, and it is moving north, and they've discovered in the Marin County, the San Francisco Bay Area. So this is an interesting article. Ooh, three pages, six. I want to print all this. Well, I don't need to print all that garbage at the end there, so I only need three pages. I don't need all six. And so, but I will do that later. I will not do it right now and come back to it later, but I will note what this is, so I will do. March 27th is the date on this one, so I will have to note March 27th. All right, now, let me the secret of terror may lie in bacteria, soil bacteria, microbes found around the root systems of vines. There's thinking that that is the secret to what is going on with grapevines. That's why terror is so important, because of the soil microbes. It could, and because it is that, that soil microbes could live in other regions, it could be something that could be transplanted. So something to look for in the future. Let's see, Virginia needs more wine grapes. We know that. We've talked about that. Every state needs more wine grapes. California sells to everybody. Let's see. So, you have heard, I am sure, that California has been put on alert. I mentioned last week that this is the worst drought in California in 1,200 years. It's serious. Let's see, I'm looking to see if there's something here. I saw something earlier on the... we just did that one. first mandatory water restrictions, it's a different world. Governor Jerry Brown said that the grass is brown in the Sierra Nevadas that he's used to cover with several feet of snow this time of year. And so, therefore, he announced a severe restrictions throughout the state on water usage. There is no snow. Talking about cutting water usage by 25% throughout the state. The directive comes after he asked last year for a 20% voluntary cut in water usage. It affects everyone. The state will partner with local agencies to remove 50 million square feet of grass, which is down the medium strips in cities and throughout the state, which is equivalent to about 1,150 football fields, and replace that with drought-tolerant landscaping. The water agencies will discourage wastewater with higher rates and fees. Agriculture business is criticizing it because they say it's not going to work. They cannot cut down much more than they already have. But they're saying that if they don't cut down, then it's not going to have they're not going to be enough water for anybody anyway. So it is serious. It's a serious problem. We've talked about this quite a bit, and we've talked about this and how it's affecting wine grapes. So far, the wine grapes are surviving. They've had some good harvests and everything. Part of that is the fact that wine grapes, the grape vines, actually search for water. The roots are very good at searching for water. You can have wine roots that will go down 30, 40, 50 feet searching for a water source. And so because of that, they will continue to be able to feed themselves and get water. But the more that it's being used, the more that the ground pumping and all that is done, the worse it gets. Okay, so let's see. I want to talk something out here, too, about, my computer was doing well, and now I've decided that it's not going to do well. Chrome, not responding. It's almost 8 o'clock.
Have an issue somewhere. Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, it's almost 8 o'clock, so it's a good opportunity to call it quits for tonight. We have a guest next week, Joy Neighbors of Joy's Joy of Wine, should be on with us. She's scheduled to be with us next week, so we are looking forward to having her back with us next week. And Mike should be here next week too. So I'm back.
I should have looked up my schedule. Well, I was delayed. Okay.
So
next Sunday you have the let me check my calendar. Oh my gosh, I can hear that echo.
Yeah. Let me turn down my speaker a little bit.
Not this coming, a week from this Sunday. I guess it would be
not Easter,
Sunday, but on April,
not Easter.
April the 12th.
Yeah, which is Orthodox Easter, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. You have a wine class, mark your calendars for that. And that's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's a great time, and you'll be joining Florida State's winemaker, vineyard cellar master, and tasting expert Ron himself. Clap. Okay. he'll share his experience and educational knowledge. It's a lot of fun, and you'll learn a lot about wine. It's a great program, and you definitely want to make plans to attend that. So be in the area, and make reservations for the wine class. Do RSVP, contact the winery, and we'll give you contact information, but you want to give them a call. It's 813-996-2113. 813. All right, that's in the that's Land O'Lakes. It's a Tampa area code, 813. It's all that area. So Tampa area, north of Tampa, 813-996-2113. Yeah, definitely plan on attending that. It's very, very enjoyable, a lot of fun, and of course there is a sampling, and it's located at Florida State's Winery. And we'll give you the information coming up in just a little bit. So.
Also
we'll
coming up,
also next time.
I said it earlier before Mike got on. Let's repeat it here. Tomorrow, Good Friday, so all of you of the Christian faith, have a good Friday. Saturday, Passover begins, so all of those of you listening to the Jewish faith, happy Passover. And Sunday, Easter Sunday, and again, happy Easter for all of you out there of the Christian faith. So get that.
Awesome. Okay. Very cool. We will we'll see you all next Thursday at 7 p.m., which will be April the 9th. So plan on being on Blog Talk Radio with us, or you can actually call by your, you know, if you're on your cell phone like I did, and you can hear the whole show on your cell phone, and you know, you don't have to be online or anything like that, but you can hear it live on the phone. Just call the guest line when the show starts at 7, 646-727-3235. You can actually call at 6:45 and get in on the lines, but you don't have to talk or anything, and you'll just sit back and listen, and it sounds really good in the car too. So
yeah,
that's good. So we'll see you all. So we'll see you all next Thursday. Thanks for joining us this week, and y'all have a great week, and don't forget to just drink wine, and yeah, it's good stuff.
Thank you all very much.
And, all right, thank you. See you. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.